I'm Hillary Fitz.
And I'm Drew Lance.
And you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
I'm a podcaster.
What on earth is that?
I'm sorry. I'm not laughing at you. You just reminded me of my mom.
Wally, what are you doing?
She's the worst. You're fantastic. A podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Rock Paper Podcast, y'all. Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here with the Rock Paper Podcast. I'm sitting down in St. Louis, Missouri. I got a couple of things coming up I wanted to let you all know about. This Saturday at the Ready Room is the Lytle release, Last in the American League. That's May 2nd with Blackwater 64 and Letter to Memphis and a couple other groups. They're all on that project, so check it out. And there's also coming up May 9th, Apollo's Daughter and Hollow Point Heroes, friends of the show, will be at Pops. So come out, support them. That's the grand finals of the Battle of the Bands for Point Fest. So the winner of the battle will open Point Fest. So come out, support local music. This evening, I'm sitting here with Hillary Fitz. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm excited that you guys are here.
Yeah. So we got a couple other special guests with us. You guys want to introduce yourselves?
Cody Henry, episode 60 of Rock Paper Podcast, Sophisticated Babies.
Yeah.
What's up?
We've got some podcast alumni.
I love it.
I'm Drew Lance, and I'm learning from Cody about how to do a podcast. As a resident pro.
You're doing great so far.
Yeah.
I just met Hillary not long ago, and we just started playing with each other, and so she told me to come on over.
Started gigging about, I don't know, what do you say, like a month ago?
Yeah.
We started kind of doing our first gigs and it just kind of clicked. So we've been kind of like a duo. And we do like covers of things, but also some of my originals and stuff depending on the gig.
Nice.
So.
Is it like an open mic night kind of thing? Or?
So we actually knew each other in high school, like faintly, like friends of friends and whatnot. And I had a gig at Broader Oyster Bar, and it was going to be a solo thing, but I was thinking, it was a 3-hour thing, and I was like, this would be really cool if I had a cajon player with me, and I didn't even know that he played cajon, but I knew that he played music, and it was just someone from high school, and I was like, hey, like, do you know any good cajon players? And he was like, hey, I play cajon. So then he just came over, and we started jamming, and it just kind of clicked, and we started harmonizing, and been really fun.
We're assuming the audience knows what a cajon is. Maybe Drew, can you help us out now? What's this cajon
so,
that Hillary speaks of?
The most basic of instruments, as far as I can find, the cajon is a wooden box. It's not much more than that. It's a percussion instrument. It has a bass tone to the center of it and a snare tone to the two top edges. Also, real sophisticated players can, you know, grab a lot of sound out of just a box, and that's what's really cool about the thing. I wanted to take it up because it's kind of like taking a whole drum set and putting it on one surface, and I feel like that's a pretty good premise for getting better at a bunch of drums. Why not get faster at one surface?
It's like,
you know,
discipline.
Absolutely.
It's like the wax on, wax off before you get to a full drum kit.
Sure. Yeah, every time I see little kids and moms and stuff, I always recommend it as a Christmas present because it'd be a great way for a little kid to learn rhythm.
Yeah.
Stocking stuffers.
Yeah.
Big stocking.
I'm a big fan of Lincoln Durham. I was lucky enough to get him on the show a while back when he was in town, and he's kind of he's a singer-songwriter from Texas and kind of one-man band of sorts. But in studio, he pulls a lot of different, different instruments and things. And I believe on there, like, in his on his first album, you can read through the liner notes and stuff, and there's credited for somebody playing a cardboard box on his records. I thought that was pretty entertaining. But he on his in his live show, he plays a suitcase for percussion.
I think I have heard
of it. It's like a kick with a kick.
But yeah, he plays kick drums. He's got two big kicks with his feet, and he's got like a snare or a cymbal attached to it, and like a shakers, and like so he gets a lot of sound out of all that. And then he plays guitar, violin, and diddly bow with it, and a couple things. And then he wears harmonica around his head and sings. And there's one song called "Ballad of the Prodigal Son," and he starts. It's got like he's got some kind of stick and a suitcase, and he's had several different suitcases because he's bashed holes in them. it gets intense, and he's sitting there hitting it. So part. Let alone the sound, but it also the theatrics of it, I guess. He usually starts his show with it, so really gets your attention when you see some guy just up here beating the hell out of a suitcase.
Yeah,
hell
yeah. But it sounds really
good.
It's very convenient for his carry-ons on the airplane. Yeah. He can also multi-purpose. He can put clothes on too. So.
Thinking of playing a cardboard box, and like even before we had modern instruments that we have today, like I imagine people probably. Whatever to find those different drum tones that we now use a cone for.
Absolutely, and there's many variations of the drum. There's some that are smaller that can go on your lap. There's just the ones you sit on. Yeah. There's ones that are an octagon shape. I mean, they come in all shapes and sizes because it is just what it is, a box.
Yeah,
and you just pull tones out of it.
So. Sure.
Remember one of the coolest things? I was at a concert once, and there was a lady who was standing on a box with tap shoes, and she was tapping the rhythms. But also had a drum set, like, and playing it at the same time and singing for like a 3-hour gig. I was like, wow, it's like the ultimate workout, and it's really, really awesome.
Right. So you mentioned Oyster Bar. You gig around town a lot, a couple different venues, or.
Yeah, we just kind of started about a month ago, and my first gig ever was at Gramophone, and it kind of came as a result of an open mic showcase.
Yeah.
And that was right before the Gramophone was going to close down to, like, convert into their restaurant.
Right.
But then we got together and started in, like, late March, and we played at Ben Park Cafe, Broader Oyster Bar, Heavy Anchor, Library Annex, just kind of... All over, really, just kind of trying to start gigging.
This weekend we got the Atomic Cowboy.
The bootleg, yeah.
Yeah, and then next weekend we got Nick's Pub. So
Lucky Buddha.
Mm-hmm. Bootleg is great. That's where I got to see Lincoln play. And, I was really upset when Gramophone closed.
Yeah.
Like, because I really liked it. Yeah, and I really didn't understand, but once Bootleg opened up, it all made sense. Pretty much, they just moved everything from Gramophone down to Bootleg.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I'm super excited to play then. It's going to be a cool night because we're playing with Toe Fire Tribe. And they, some of the guys were from Elemental Shakedown, I believe. And then there's also a solo act as well, a female singer-songwriter.
She's the only one I won't be playing with.
Five hour ordeal.
Now, have you played with other groups, or are you?
I play with a couple of other cover groups that are much like what me and Hillary does, just without any original intent at all. Just like having fun.
Sure.
And for the most part, we play out in the county and wineries.
Yeah.
So I try to do that out there, and then come down in the city with Hillary and play down here.
Very
as
cool.
I can.
Nice. Keeping busy.
I try to.
Well, speaking of all this, you wanna play one?
Yeah, sure.
We're gonna do a little bit different episode this week than some of the other stuff we've done. We're gonna do a little bit of storytelling and play a couple tunes. So what's this one?
So let's start off. Do you want to start off with Truths We Came to Know?
Cool.
So this song, this one is actually super, super special to me. So I'm studying biology and environmental science. And so I was doing an internship 2 years ago in the jungle in Panama, studying water quality in a super rural area. And it was an internship group about 30 people. And I met my boyfriend there, and we've been long distance ever since. But I fell in love with someone in the jungle, and it was just because it was getting to know someone in the most, like, raw way ever. I mean, there's bugs, it's really hot, like, you're definitely, like, not looking cute. You're working on a farm, like, using a pickaxe, and it's just, you know, totally intense and, like, you know, totally different than anything I'd ever experienced in my entire life. Situation, out of my comfort zone, element, all of that. But I fell in love with someone, and I wrote a song about it. So it's called Truths We Came to Know.
Trombone up, and I was getting, I'm like, I'm not gonna ruin this song by adding trombone to it. It's a beautiful song.
Yeah,
thank you.
Like, I'm awesome. That was great. It was great.
Thank you. Yeah, that one is my mom's favorite. She always asks me to play that at gigs, and I'm like, in especially like a bar or something where we're doing like covers, I'm like, it's a little sensitive. I don't know.
Maybe I'll give you $20.
Like, gotta call up Drew and I gotta get him out here.
And she does it. She just yells, Panama! And so everybody's kind of like,
which can be confused for like Van Halen, you know? Like, I think we're gonna start out there.
There's a couple songs named Panama.
Yeah. So I can't name that one Panama. Maybe a little counterintuitive.
We're like on spring break, like spring break. Party in Panama.
Different Panama.
That's what like our generation.
Yeah, different Panama. What a special
America. My buddy Matt, he does a lot of like cover gigs and acoustic guitar stuff, and he's got a couple originals, but some of his stuff, like I lean towards this one he's got about meeting this hitchhiker, and and it's you know, it's a sad song. But I love it. I think it's, and I like that it's as original. And but it's so I like I saw him the other night, and we're at the gig, and that's and I'm like, hey man, he goes, well, you want to hear anything? And I was like, well, play the Hitchhiker song. And then he goes, you know, he's like, yeah, okay. But I was like, well, you know, if it fits in, like I don't want to bring everybody down, like, you know, like and stuff. But it's like it's kind of one of those things. Like you kind of got to feel the room, but it's like also, you know, I just sometimes you just gotta tell them what they like, and
yeah, definitely.
I'm gonna play this for you, and you know, see what happens. So
yeah,
sometimes a sad song is, you know, it mixes it up. You don't want all happy, energetic. Like I like the contrast. Like we play one song at our gigs called Wayfaring Stranger, and it's just like an old time American folk tune, and it's super depressing lyrics, but it's just like really haunting and sad. But we still play that at like bars where everybody's still trying to like get down and stuff, just because it's just it's so fun to play. It's just beautiful harmonies.
And with those ones, people kind of like they turn away from what they're doing because it's just different, and they're like, "Whoa, what is going on over there?" You know.
Should we play that? Can we not play it?
Yeah, let's play it.
Okay, it's called Wayfaring Stranger. I'm just a
just came to mind. I mean, but do you like the Civil Wars? Do you ever hear them?
Yes,
hell,
they are
so.
They're so good.
I kind of came to mind. Some of there was some like, you know, kind of have some of that eerie kind of stuff in there.
Yeah, I like those, like, old time, like, I don't know, for some reason, I, like, think of myself, especially when I'm having a bad day, I like to, like, picture myself as, like, a cowboy or a pirate.
Yeah.
And actually, some of the songs that I've written, I, like, was, like, really trying to capture, like, that vibe a little bit. I don't know, I love that, just, like, thinking about it and letting your imagination run about, I don't know, being a cowboy. That's kind of weird. Kind of weird, but, yeah, just the songs that evoke that.
Tumbleweed.
Yeah.
So who else, or what other people do you like aspire to be, or influences, and what kind of sounds that you like?
Yeah, it's kind of, I have like a very, very wide variety of people and styles that I listen to, but I'm inspired by a lot of the old jazz musicians like Billie Holiday, Sarah Vaughan, Etta James, Ella Fitzgerald, because I grew up listening to that. That's like some of my mom's favorite music.
Yeah.
But I also, like when I was in high school, I got really into female folk musicians, so that are currently playing, like Caroline Smith in the Good Night Sleeps. Do you know them?
Mm-mm.
They're amazing.
Yeah.
And a lot of her older albums were very, very folky. But her new stuff, she kind of turned into like a, she does like neo-soul a little bit now, kind of more poppy stuff, but it's beautiful. And then another like folky band, it's like Lucy Michelle and the Velvet Lapels. She plays ukulele. I think they're from Wisconsin, I believe. But just really like just folky lyric music. And then like Regina Spektor is a huge influence.
Yeah.
Amy Winehouse. But also, I mean, I don't just listen to female musicians. Well, I listen to people.
That's, yeah. I mean, it's not that like I don't like, it's not like I don't want to listen to them at all,
yeah.
But like, I find myself listening to mostly male artists, and
yeah.
I've been trying to find more, you know, female artists that I like. I do really like the new Alabama Shakes record.
Oh my gosh,
yes.
It's amazing.
Yeah. She, Brittany can, that girl can sing.
That
yeah.
was a weird connection that we had too, when I first, well, I guess re-met Hillary. Me and a buddy, my best friend, had just gotten into listening to Caroline Smith, and I didn't know why. He just was turning it on every time we were hanging out. And I was like, who is this? This is wonderful. And we got really into the Caroline Smith thing.
Yeah.
And then ran into Hillary at Lulu's, where Cody works, and he had told me, he ran into her, and she had, like, done a cover of a Caroline Smith song, and that's why we had originally started listening to it. So it was kind of weird that, like,
yeah.
Caroline Smith got plopped into my life, and I was, like, listening to all male artists.
Yeah.
And then, you know, about a month and a half, 2 months later, I'm with Hillary playing, you know, consistently,
right.
and really listening to a lot more female artists. I think
yeah.
it's just, like, if you find one you really, really love, they just start coming out of the woodwork.
Yeah, I just love, I love, and, like, trying to just like singing along to it and harmonizing it, it just, I feel like I've borrowed a lot of vocal things potentially just from listening to a lot of female musicians. And like right now I'm obsessed with Carrie Ann Hurst. She's in Shovels and Rope.
Okay.
But she also does solo stuff, and man, and just the lyrics that she writes are so amazing, and her voice is just like powerful, and
yeah.
she kind of gets that cowboy thing
yeah.
too.
I mentioned at the opening of the show the Letter to Memphis.
Yeah.
Have you ever listened to them?
Yeah, they're really, really good with Paul.
I just got a hold of their record when we had Paul on the show, and I really like Devin's voice a lot on those songs, and the record, I thought I was really impressed. I thought it was, you know, it's got a lot of different sounds, but I liked it a lot, so
yeah.
like I'm trying to, you know, not like really reaching out to like find certain, you know, a lot of female
yeah.
artists, but I'm just trying to be more open-minded, I guess,
yeah,
and things
sure.
like. I don't know if it's for me. I guess it has a lot to do with that I like a lot of like songwriters and stuff, and maybe I can relate more to
mm-hmm.
what the men are saying, and then sometimes what the females are saying. So I don't know. I don't know if that's it or what, but I just
yeah.
I've been just naturally kind of drawn more to a lot of more male
Yeah.
And especially like rock singers and stuff like that. So.
Well, you're drawn to what you're drawn to.
Yeah.
You know? But if you need any.
Yeah,
I can make a very long list of female musicians that I think
sure,
we should
check out.
What's scary is like a lot of those female musicians write about like content wise, write about like male type of stuff. And like, I mean, since I've been hanging out with Hillary, I'll just hear a girl write a song about, you know, what's typically a man thing, like farming,
mm-hmm.
you know, like the hard parts of farming. You'd typically tag that to a man. But it's like this woman that's like strong, and it sounds even cooler. And
yeah,
she even like
sure.
talks like a man, you know, quote unquote. And it's like, it's awesome.
Yeah.
A really, really tricky paradox.
There's a lot like, what was it? It's totally different, but it was just, I thought it was really funny because I found out the other day that the song What a Man. In Vogue and something. I just learned the other day that that's written by a man, so I thought that was I forget his name now, but I found it amusing that there was you know it's written by from a man, but it's all about a man and like it was just
all women singers.
That's there's a cover of It's a Man's World, which James Brown did, but it was Judith Hill sang that song. She was like a backup singer for Michael Jackson, I believe. But it was really powerful to like have her sing that. And like, I don't know.
There was a girl too on The Voice. Judith came from The Voice, showcase on The Voice. Not really that she didn't have anything going before that, but it really brought her mainstreamed, I guess. And there was another girl on there. And she did What a Man's World, and like I thought that was, it totally flips it. It's like, it's kind of weird how, same exact lyrics, but totally, you can take
changes.
A totally different meaning to a song. And
I have an idea to play one that I just learned last night, actually, called Tall Buildings by John Hartford.
Yeah.
And it's doing that, because I'm a lady, but the lyrics just kind of popped in my head. It could be a good one to do for, like, on this topic.
Yeah.
This song makes me cry. It's really, the lyrics are so beautiful, like, I just don't even know. So let's see.
Goodbye to the sunshine, goodbye to the dew, goodbye to the flowers, and goodbye to you. I'm on.
think I just made a promise to myself that I'm never going to go work in film.
That song is like...
I just want to keep doing what I'm doing. I don't want to have to do that. I can't do that.
When I first heard that song, I was like, oh my God. I just like started crying. I was like, that song is so powerful. Like,
especially live. That one connects to you. It's like having a conversation.
Yeah,
people were out listening to you having a drink, and this is their escape from the tall buildings. This is like where I can get back to where I was a little bit before, and oh my gosh, that's got to, I'm sure that takes out some people.
Who's that again?
John Hartford. He's actually from St. Louis.
Oh, cool.
Oh, wow.
That's so cool.
Yeah, I love, not that we picked out that because he's from St. Louis, but just I love... supporting all of my friends and local artists, and trying to it's fun to obviously to support everybody in music, but there's I feel a lot of connection with a lot of St. Louis artists, and so many people want to like move on to Nashville or Austin or wherever, these big music towns and things, but it's fun to stay here, and there's a lot of people you can make it out of this town. It's not like there's a lot of opportunities in Nashville and everything else, wherever else, but to play every night. But it's fun to see that there is a good, strong St. Louis music community building. And it's growing every day, too.
I feel like it's just such a hidden gem, and people here are really supportive of it.
Mm-hmm.
I've noticed the more I'm around St. Louis, I just realized how like intertwined music is into the culture completely. Like, it is just such a huge part of this city, and I think people are totally willing to go out and like go see and support local music, and that's really special.
Sure.
The musicians
carry it with them too wherever they go, it seems like. I mean, we were told from a couple of musicians, just who was it that we were talking to, their whole band was just when we played like at the Bombers Hideaway.
Kim Massey
and her whole band was just raving about St. Louis and about how they take it everywhere with them, and they'll tell people they're from St. Louis and people are just like instant respect, like instantly. And that, we didn't know that because we're not,
we're just starting
traveling musicians.
we hope to be, but we're not so far.
And so to know that we could be respected pretty instantly is pretty cool.
I think really early on in my career, a lot of people say, like, if you really want to make it, you're going to have to go somewhere else. You're going to have to go to this coast or that coast or whatever.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not true. And, you can make a living here. And a lot of us grew up here. We have family here. So it's a great place. And it's a great time to be in St. Louis, I feel, right now, too. There's so many neat things that are popping up,
So unique. And there's just... it's constantly changing. It's like such a dynamic city. There's always new restaurants to go to, and the thing that I just like love about St. Louis is all the festivals and outdoor things. And I don't know. I'm very proud to be from St. Louis, and I've like learned that, just especially like in my 20s, like as I've just gotten the opportunity to go out and see the city more and experience it and live in it. I'm just like I love St. Louis.
Yeah.
Honestly.
By the way, I'm envious of. You're like a 5-minute drive from the St. Louis Zoo.
Oh,
and
it's perfect. I get super.
Right there.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. You're yeah. You're
I have my rollerblades in my trunk at all times, and so like when I get home from school, I will just like bust out my rollerblades and like just like scoot down
let's
Hampton
go,
and just like go.
Let's go see
to
what
the sun
bears are up to.
Yeah.
Prairie dogs.
I was walking the loop Sunday. I had to. I'm not working for the Pageant Street team. It's another way to get me more free tickets to shows. And
yeah.
Anyway, Sunday I'm down there hanging flyers in the loop in WashU area. And this guy flies by us twice actually on his rollerblades, and it was just funny because he had like earbuds in, and we're like, I wonder what song he's listening to skating, like, because he's having a good time.
Fast dubstep.
Maybe some Queen or something.
We were thinking, I shouted out, I was like, it'd just be funny to hear, like, if he was, like, listening to something like, you know, wake me up before you go.
Yeah,
so they
did he have like a neon like sweatband and like sweatsuit and whatnot? I swear that you never see a person rollerblading who like looks like pissed off or like sad. Like when you're rollerblading, you are like. You just, like, feel good no matter what. I mean, unless you fall.
You have to feel good to put the blades on. You got to
argue. I love rollerblading. Oh, my gosh. I remember one time in high school, my friend and I thought it would be a great idea to rollerblade to this party that was, like, super far away. And we were rollerblading, and then there was this huge hill, and it was fall, and... We were side by side. We had already beaten up a little bit, but we were like, all right, let's just, like, bust down this hill. Like, it's going to be so fun. Potholes everywhere. It was intense. And we ended up piling and, like, running into each other, piling, rolling down this hill into a pile of leaves completely. We were bleeding and finally made it to the party, but we were, like, covered in leaves in our rollerblades, like, bruises and, like, scrapes, and we were like, we finally did it, but we were like, someone drive us home afterwards. We are not rollerblading home again.
Two things came to mind. One of that, you guys ever watch those Jackass movies?
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
There was the one, I was thinking of the one, there's like, they're in a park, and like Johnny Knoxville's like at the bottom of this hill, he keeps throwing these like sticks out, and like, so these rollerbladers are like going down the hill, and then like hit the sticks, and he's like, somebody should move the stick.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, man.
To tie that up to the St. Louis Zoo, like some of the guys from Jackass started a show called The Wild Boys. It's kind of like a combination of Crocodile Hunter and Jackass, but it was Steve-O and Chris Pontius. Just going around and usually just letting animals bite them and stuff.
They just do little shorts where they said something funny and let like a monkey slap them in the face. Or
they're trying to throw like a boomerang or something like that, and like and you know, they're coming back, it's like just like whacking them in the midsection or something like that, and then all of a sudden, oh, here come the hyenas. it's
a special type of person to just like completely neglect like all of your well-being for entertainment. Like,
there was one with that where he it was like an alligator pit or something, and they had like you're supposed to like tightrope a rock
across it. Meat hanging down from his like
jockstrap
or something.
Well, he's supposed to be tightrope walk, and then like he immediately falls, and he's like, hey, what are you? He's like, I can't tightrope walk and all this stuff, and like and then like I think one of the guys run out there and just shove like a big steak in his underwear, so like he's like,
so, like alligators were like on there, like swimming up out of the water, doing their little thing where they just jump up and grab the piece of meat.
that was pretty great. The other rollerblade story I was gonna mention is, did you guys ever catch Human Giant when that was on TV at all? It was a sketch comedy show on MTV. It's pretty much where Aziz Ansari got his start. Then led into all of his stand-up specials and being on Parks and Rec and everything else. But he did the show with a couple other guys. I'm blanks on the names. But anyway, there was one of my favorite moments was this bit they did where like Aziz Ansari went to go rent rollerblades, and like they had like a rental contract, and like they said like the hardest part with that is going to tell your parents that you're gay. The whole thing in the bit, like, he goes that, so before he could rent them, he had to go home to his parents and tell them that he's gay for renting rollers and stuff, and like, I don't know, it was really silly, but it made me laugh pretty hard just because, that was kind of, this is after rollerblades had kind of lost, coolness or
I guess because I remember in the 90s like roller hockey, like when I was a kid we used to play roller hockey all the time, but then I feel like I don't see rollerblades as much. When you see someone on rollerblades you're kind of just like, wow, that person's a goober.
It's kind of like a weird, it's usually a weirdo, you know, like that you see on roller, you don't see like the kid in like, you know, normal shorts.
But rollerblading is like the most joyous activity, so like I proudly am one of those weirdos who like rollerblades whenever I can.
I mean, any of that stuff, I think it all, kind of comes, I mean, there's not that it's ever been gone, but I think bike riding is at a, like, a big time high now. Like,
absolutely.
I think
a lot more people I know
yeah.
riding bikes.
Yeah. In I down there at the Loop, there was people skateboarding up and down the street and stuff, and you know, there's a lot of different, especially when gas is, you know, $3 a gallon and stuff. It there's a lot of different alternative means of transportation.
Yeah.
So
well, you'll see them all down there in the Loop.
Yeah.
I busk out there a whole lot, an awful lot, and I'll just sit down there and see modes of transportation I didn't know existed.
Yeah.
People will ride Segways through there. Yeah. Some of the cars and like motorcycle like ways they make a motorcycle a car. I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of things that go on down there. You can't explain.
When you were in high school for our physics class, we built a hovercraft. So what it was, I like barely remember how we built it, but we like glued a chair to it, and it was like this circular disc with like a bag on the bottom that we like filled up with. This is kind of hard to explain, but with a leaf blower, and so you like filled it up, and then you could literally like push them on it, and they just like zoomed across the highway or the hallway at like ridiculous speeds. It was like this orb, and you're on a chair, and someone pushes you, and you just like fly across the hallway, and it was like so fun. And
that
I,
so cool.
I need to hit up my old physics teacher and just like ask, like, how did we build that hovercraft? Like, I need that in my life.
When you said highway, I'm like, oh yeah, this is the ultimate test. Can you make it across? Okay, your grade in your life depend on this.
That'll make it across our highway safe. Yes, one day. That's so funny.
What else you got for us?
Let's see, maybe Open Sky. You think? The cowboys, back to the cowboy thing.
Yeah.
This song was inspired by thinking about being a cowboy, I guess, but this is kind of a really weird start for, like, what, like, sparked the idea for this song, but I was, like, reading on NPR about this bill that was passed, and I'm studying environmental science, about this bill that was passed that, that scientists, like, independent scientists and organizations, like, couldn't advise the EPA that just, like, for, like, corporate affairs, so they would have corporate officials advising the EPA on things, and I was just, it's a long story, but I was like, that is so dumb, and I got really angry, and kind of just, like, had this existential moment where I was just like, I feel like I am just, like, a pawn in this game, and, like, you know, that, as an individual, it's, like, really hard when there's so many big issues in the world, like, what am I supposed to do? So this song is kind of about... the first lyrics are winding, turning, twisting, curving. Wait, I don't even know how to sing it. like through these narrow cracks. So it's kind of like, how do you find a life that you want to live where you're like content with what you do in a world that has so many huge problems that you want to deal with and you want to change, but you can't. Like, I mean, you can, but I think on an individual level, it's like how to find that way out of like how to live the best life you can, I guess.
Yeah.
So it's called Open Sky. Thank you.
Yeah. Woo! Yep. I was jamming to that one. Mm-hmm. It was fun watching like your facial expressions too as you're really getting into it and getting angry looking.
Yeah, sometimes I like cannot control my face when I stay. I probably look so weird sometimes. I'm just like,
that's one of my favorites. I really like Devin Allman a lot, and I like a lot of bluesy rock stuff, and especially Allman Brothers, where his family came from and everything. But anyway, but Devin is like. His guitar faces when he's playing like are some of the most entertaining things. Like the one though, like you know, you're watching him shred. And he's the way he you know contorts his face, and then like I like to take some pictures and like get random moments, and it's some of the funniest things to go back and like look at these silly pictures of his guitar faces. And
there's a I think there's a Reddit thread.
Yeah, post it on my Facebook music page. Actually, that's giant slugs.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It's the contorted faces you're talking about, but instead of holding guitars, they Photoshop giant slugs in their hands. So it's like some guy's like,
ooh, yeah, slug in his hand. Yeah, terrified, but it's like, they're just feeling the I was like, I posted that, I was like, this is definitely going to go on my music page, and this has nothing to do with my music, but this is hilarious.
Yeah, make one of you.
Lots of funny faces of musicians do. For drummers, it's also it's like the cymbal smells like crap or something like that. You know, like you're playing it, but it's like, oh, it's a stinky cymbal, but I gotta play it.
That's so funny.
One of our buddies says that Hillary does this thing. He's like, she can't stop it. Now that I'm gonna tell her, he's like, she can't stop doing this. She does this thing with her knees where she keeps tempo with her knees without moving her feet.
And
he's like, dude, it's the best thing ever. He's like, everybody talks to me about it. Tell her never to stop.
And I literally had no idea. It was like at the gig. It was my second gig ever. And I watched a video afterwards. And I was like, what am I doing with my knees? Like, I had no idea, like, no body awareness. I think I was, like, focusing on the song so much and just, like, you know, like, feeling them, but I guess my knees were just responding to that. And I didn't know.
You've done it every show.
I do. I think it's just
that's
weird
you.
The thing that I do. I don't know.
Don't lose it. That's your, that's your thing. Do it.
That's funny though. It's cool like that you can kind of get lost in the music though, and then like you know you don't even realize you're doing these things, and then you look back at well that's what it,
well,
that's what it looks
weird.
Like.
I find it weird I get lost in Hillary's knees. I'm like trying to keep tempo any way I can, looking at her at times because we haven't played together so long. So you can only look at you know two hands and maybe a foot that's tapping, and so her knees do the trick. So
like, you know when the song's about to change,
I
kinda, my knees.
I kind of like you'll stop doing it. Like you'll go do something different. I don't know. It's just the one thing I can notice.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
What was, you said, we got, so this weekend you're playing?
Yeah.
Broadway, or Bootleg, I mean?
The Bootleg, yeah, so this weekend, Friday, we're playing at the Bootleg. We're playing from 12 to 2, and we have, so it's a late night show, which will be fun.
Yeah.
And we're going to be playing a stand-up bassist.
Oh.
And then, we're also playing Sunday from 2 to 5 at the Lucky Buddha. And the weather's supposed to be nice on Sunday. It's like an outdoor patio. They just reopened off of South Jefferson.
The place is really cool.
It's really cool.
Really
and like
nice
really
people.
Good Asian fusion food.
Oh, yeah, yeah. When we were there, the guy was doing like the Yelp interview for it. And so that was when I was like, okay, I got to order something if they're doing the interview here now.
Yeah.
I asked
really
the
good.
Guy, and he's like, yeah, you better get something.
You got the crab rangoon.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it was like, you could like taste crab.
It was like
it was
a
so
lobster
good.
Crab rangoon.
Ooh.
So it was like, both.
Yeah.
Really good.
Wow. Now that I'm hungry.
Yeah. It's nothing
to do with grab ranking. I don't know. You want to play another?
Should we do Lazy Blues?
Sure.
Okay, so this song, the story is very straightforward. This is a silly blues I wrote when I was, like, extremely hungover on this couch, actually. Laying there, like, flat. That's like all I could do, and I was just hurting, and I was like, I'm gonna write a blues about how I feel right now in my current like situation. So it's called Lazy Blues, and it's just kind of a silly song. Yeah, it's called Lazy Blues, and Co Cody's gonna play the trombone on it. Trombone. So, 1, 2, ready, go. Right, just kidding. 1, 2, you know what to do.
Right up my alley. I love me some blues.
Cool.
And that's another thing that's great about living in St. Louis. There's plenty of it.
Blues galore.
Yeah. I bring it up like a couple times now, but I got a buddy. He sent me a text one night. He goes, "Hey, you wanna listen to some blues music?" And I'm like, "Yeah, that's what I do like every weekend."
Yeah.
And and he said, "Where's a good place to go listen?" I'm like, he's like, he didn't realize that I was like, "We have a hockey team named after St. Louis is deep in blues history
yeah,
here."
Definitely.
I was saying the W.C. Handy tune from earlier when we were talking before the podcast started. You know, and W.C. Handy, that was like one of the first blues, you know,
yeah.
Blues tunes written. So
right,
it's everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like part of, like, the way I sing, I think, is probably influenced by just seeing music in St. Louis and seeing blues all the time. Like, you know,
it's in everything.
It's just, yeah, it's like, yeah, it totally, like,
sure.
Thick and, like,
I cannot get away from the blues.
Yeah, yeah, regardless of whether you like, you know, rock or, you know, whatever it is, I mean, it probably some way or another derivative from blues music before.
Yeah.
Right. So,
foundation.
Yeah. But now I'm pretty, like, you know, new to a lot of it. Like, I've been trying to go back and do a lot of my homework and learn a lot more, you know, where, you know, like, what, you know, again, I've said it a couple times before on the show, but it's like a lot of people praise Led Zeppelin for how much they did, but then it's like, but a lot of that, what Led Zeppelin did, granted they did a great job with it, but they, a lot of that was old blues tunes that they redid their own way, you know, made it a little more rock and cranked it up on the Marshalls and everything, but it's, they're like, you know, Willie Dixon songs and stuff like that, like, so it's just, if you go back and do your homework, you'll realize how much these other artists were influenced by, you know, blues artists from 30s and 40s and whatever.
That could be, like, a cool idea for, like, a book or just, like, some project. You take, like, say, like, a band like Led Zeppelin or, like, the Rolling Stones or something, and then trace back their influences and, like, you, I don't know, like, have
like
examples
family
of their
tree.
Music. Yeah, like, kind of like a tree,
yeah, family
tree. Of, of influences, and then, like, all the way just, like, as far back as you could. That would just be so cool.
It'd be a really cool poster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super cool poster.
Yeah, that would be a cool poster.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, even the godfather of rock and roll from St. Louis here, Chuck Berry, with all his, I'm sure there's a lot of, wonder what his, blue, you know, who he really, brought blues from and think, you know.
I'm sure you could find him and ask, or
he's
around,
and you could, all the time. Then you could trace his influence back to Marty McFly, of course.
Yeah, right.
You gotta hear this.
Yeah, a couple things. One, I, speaking of Chuck, is, he's my neighbor, actually. I live on, I think he's got a couple of places, but, like, I grew up, and I still live out in Wentzville, and I, my childhood home backs up, and we share our fence line, our property line, with Barry Acres. So yeah, I could have walked through my backyard over to Chuck's property and stuff, and
you should do a podcast with Chuck
Berry. Yeah. I've never got to, you know, meet him. People have said they've seen him around, and, you know, a lot of people have told me stories and things, but I've seen him live twice, but I've, you know, never been able to meet him or anything. But it'd be pretty pretty neat. I mean, he's
pretty epic.
Yeah, I got to meet him right in front of the statue.
Oh, yeah.
Take a picture with him.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Statue of him.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Nice.
The other thing I was going to say, the Marty McFly reference.
Happy I brought that up.
Yeah. Our buddies for the show, Clockwork. I don't know if you guys are familiar with them.
I ticker.
Right? Recorded horns for them.
Oh, yeah.
One of their songs on their last album.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
They,
use sticker.
Their harmonies were so tight.
Oh, well, yeah, it helps when you're, you know, brothers.
Yeah.
Two,
they were.
Two
I saw them at Ballpark Village when they opened up for.
I've never seen them.
Blues Traveler.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, I think you dig them. They got. So there's. I guess one, it's kind of, there was their single they were pushing for a while, was All Right, and it's like sort of a Mumford and Sons-ish kind of a folk vibe to it. And then, like, they're, so anyway, what I was going to say is their new one, they just shot a music video for it, Long Way Down, and it's like a total Back to the Future, like they're having a sleepover at the house, and they wake up in like a, and they're at the school dance, and they're playing, and you know, like, your kids are gonna love this, and like, and they do that whole thing. And, but it's pretty funny to just kind of pay homage to the whole thing, and they tried to get Chuck Berry on the video just because
that'd be awesome,
you know, being that, but it didn't happen. But they at the end of the video is pretty funny because they, I guess there's like some sort of DeLorean club in St. Louis or around St. Louis here.
I have a friend that owns one.
Yeah, so they were able to get a DeLorean for the last shot, and so that was pretty cool to. It was really,
his license plate is Gigawatt. He wins.
Awesome. Yeah. He does win.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's was, I guess, like I said, I didn't realize there was a club around here, but when I It's really weird when you're just driving down the road and you all of a sudden you see a DeLorean, you know, at the gas station or something, because I just don't see many of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, they, it's you can't help but to immediately go to Back to the Future. Like that's
yeah.
That movie is totally forever changed DeLoreans.
Yeah.
And, so, I think they're. I think I saw on Facebook they're going to like play that at Art Hill or something coming up. Like,
oh, nice.
It'll be interesting to sit on the hill and
watch
that.
Yeah, they do that in the summers, I think. Like, then the food trucks come and then they like play movies
on. Oh, yeah. I work for a company that sets all that up.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, man. Clancy Unlimited. And we set up like the big stages, the rollout stages.
Oh.
So like when El Monstero played the hill last summer, I helped set that all up. And
yeah,
so much goes into that, but it is such a cool place to see a show.
We talked to John Pisani last week about playing Art Hill and how, you know, that compared to their pageant shows and how much of a pain it is to play. It was really a neat moment, but the fact that there's nothing out there. You got to bring, you know, power. You got to bring a stage. You got to bring fencing. You got to bring in toilets and, you know, it's so.
Man, I'm gonna miss St. Louis this summer.
Yeah.
Botanical gardens. I mean, I'm super stoked to go to the jungle. Like, it's,
yeah,
I'm really excited. But it's definitely bittersweet just because I do. I love it here. But you know, gotta travel.
So you'll be there for the whole summer, you said?
Yeah. So I'm going to Panama from May 14th to, and then the job ends August 2nd, and then we're gonna travel and backpack into Costa Rica for like 12 days. And
I'll be there for that.
Yeah, he's actually coming. Him and Cody and a couple friends are going to come fly out when my job ends, and we're going to backpack and show them around, take them to some like volcanoes and stuff. And then I come back in August for like 2 weeks. And so I'm going to try to like get some gigs and play for a little bit, but then I'm actually going to study abroad in Madrid because I have a minor in Spanish. So, but I'm going to be taking flamenco guitar lessons, so maybe I'll come back singing Spanish songs.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, there was a guy also down there at the Loop on Sunday. I don't even know what it's called, but it's like it was a smaller guitar.
Sitar
kind of
guy.
Yeah.
He's really
like
cool.
Like, there's some really, like, some of the tones, like, you know, it kind of just reminded me of some of that like Spanish music and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, he's a killer.
He's
a really nice guy.
Yeah. But it would be cool to kind of hear some of that influence come through there, some of the stuff.
Definitely. I wrote a Spanish song once. I don't remember how it goes, but it was kind of interesting. Like, the songwriting process in Spanish was like completely different. It was just so much more like, so the story was about, and I wish I like would have recorded this song and like remembered it, because it's actually kind of cool, but the story is about, I was like a woman that walked into a party, and this is all in Spanish, and I see my lover across the room, and he didn't know I was coming to the party, and then this woman in a red dress just like walks up to him and touches his hand and then like kisses him. But the song is about how the party was loud, but everything just like got completely silent. And there's like, it's kind of about like how there was movement of, you know, drinks flowing, but everything was completely silent, and it's kind of like tunnel vision. Like, that's all you saw, and you just felt like nothingness. And it was a really dramatic, like, Spanish song. But that's the thing is I love about just like Spanish lyrics in general. Like, and this is totally a generalization, but a lot of it is just very straightforward, like emotion, like raw, pure, like emotion, like mi corazón, like my heart. Like, it's just,
that's what's fun about all the, like, I just thinking about like Spanish soap opera stuff, like how dramatic everything, you know, all
it's
those
very
stuff.
Passionate
yeah.
Like, just in general, passionate culture and language, and I just really like that about it. It's, I don't know, I loved being in Panama. Just the whole culture is so different, and I don't know, the language.
Yeah, that's something I gotta get to doing. I gotta start traveling more. I mean,
same here.
I love it here, but I think I'd appreciate St. Louis a lot more, you know, seeing the world too. And but yeah, I been to like Florida, Chicago, and, you know, bounced around the states, but I've never flown, I've never left the country or nothing, you know. So
Florida and Chicago, St. Louis is kind of a combination of both weather wise.
Yeah.
So you get like the worst humidity and the worst winters.
I just think that when you're traveling, especially when you are in a place that is completely out of your comfort zone, for me anyway, I just formed really, really strong relationships with travelers. Like, when you're backpacking around in the hostel, it's like there's this weird bond you form because you're, like, totally, like, out of your element. And it's really cool. It's kind of like a brotherly, like, just, like, I don't know, bond. I can't describe it. And also, yeah, it totally does make me appreciate things. And, like, when I was out there, we were, like, showering in the river. I was sleeping in a hammock every night. All I have is, like, my backpack, really. And I was like, this is, like, all I need, you know? And, like, here at my house, you know, I have, like, a closet full of, you know, art on the walls. And it kind of made me question all that. I'm like, do I really, like, need all this stuff, you know?
Sure.
So traveling when you just have your backpack is just such, like, a liberating experience because you just realize that, you know, at the end of the day, you can, like, carry your, you know.
Yeah. And the value of people versus the things
yeah,
that we acquire.
Yeah, it's just the experience
long.
Of it. Just, I don't know. I love it. I get a little stir crazy when I'm in, like, one place for too long.
Yeah.
I just wrote a song about that.
Yeah. I'm the same way. I can't hardly sit still for the weekend or whatever. I'm always out running trying to catch a live show and do stuff.
Yeah.
I can't just sit at home and do nothing and...
Sure.
Or whatever, right there. So,
yeah, should we do that one?
Yeah.
This song actually I wrote like 2 weeks. Well, maybe it's been like a month. My gauge of time is really bad. This is actually about that. It's funny how it's like our conversations are leading into like certain things.
We planned it.
We told you. Yeah, we
told
you.
Your voice sounds so pretty on that. Those harmonies that you're doing are like
I was gonna say, you'd be unsung heroes of music. The side men and side women who, you know, and I can appreciate it because I sit on the side of the band and I play trombone.
Right.
You know? So it's like, but he's doing percussion through like a couple songs.
Oh my
a year.
Gosh.
Like, all the other songs you hear him play percussion, he's also doing the background vocals. It's like, yeah. It's not glorified as much as it probably should be.
I mean, and Drew like has a killer voice on some of the songs
that
we cover and stuff. He just like kills it. And I don't know, the thing I love playing about with him the most is just like he knows like when to lay back, when to come in strong, just like the right, just right in the pocket of like when to play the right things. And he just like picks up on like those harmonies like that. I think I played that song to him like once. And then all of a sudden he was like, yeah, we got this. And then he just, like, sings these beautiful harmonies. It's like, what?
It's good, you guys.
Yeah, that's something I, being a fan of music, I wish I could play. Like, I admire musicians and the fact that you guys can do it. Like, one take, you know, all right, yeah, I got this. And, like, but for me, like, I don't know, just always had a passion for, you know, listening to music and being around it, but I just never been able to, I mean, I imagine if I played myself, I could probably learn how to play a guitar or do something, but like, I just never had something that, a natural knack to, you know, force to say, hey, you should try this, and I figured if, you know, if I haven't had some kind of feeling toward, pull me towards it, then it's probably not really there, but
But appreciating music,
sure.
You gotta say
sure.
You are a huge appreciator.
You're doing a great thing for music, you know, by
yeah.
just spreading it around.
Well, thank you.
I mean,
yeah,
that's an incredible thing in its own.
That's kind of what I like. I like to imagine, like, or, you know, kind of the way I look at it, like, you know, we all have our purposes, you know. It's like whether, you know, if there's all the musicians, of course, but there, you know, some of us are just fans. And,
production,
you know, you gotta have people out there doing, you know, the other stuff, so I feel like maybe that's my calling, you know, so.
Yeah, that's awesome, though, I mean.
That is absolutely killer.
I just shared it as, like, our little throwback Thursday. There's a picture of me, like, it's got to be, like, 87 or something, you know, and I'm sitting next to, I got headphones on, and I'm sitting next to a boombox.
I saw that.
There's, like, a stack of vinyls in the background.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just like, this is... You know, I miss some of the signs, but this has been, it's been there for a long time that, you know, being involved in music like this. So it's kind of cool that, like, all this is sort of finally coming together. But,
yeah.
But I mean, I love doing the show. It's fun to.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sure you run into some cool,
cool things. Again, I mean, one, just to, you know, this setting, like, right here, this is just cool to me, like, to be able to sit around with friends, talking music and playing and, you know. Whatever it is, it's fun.
Yeah, for sure.
So I really enjoy getting to do this. So, but yeah, like I've met it's a little less creepy to ask somebody to hang out when you got a show instead of just saying.
So that's pretty creepy.
Segway. Hey, you want to hang out for an hour?
Yeah. Imagine if you didn't have the show, it'd be like, oh man, here comes Shane again.
Yeah.
You always have to hang out. And
that's so funny.
Yeah. So you are you looking to like do recordings or what?
That's actually, that you mentioned that we're actually in the process of because. It's funny, I mean, people come up to me or we'll be talking or whatever, and I'm like, yeah, I play music, and they're like, okay, like, do you have anything, like, show me, and I'm like, well, don't have anything recorded yet. I have some videos of us doing covers and stuff, but we're in the process of doing, like, a 5-track EP of originals, and so 4 of them will be with, like, the full band setting, and then 1 will just be, like, a live, stripped-down guitar track with the harmonies. But we had our first recording session on Saturday, and I'm really hoping to get it done, well, I'm definitely going to get it done by the time I leave the country, just to have that before I go, and then when I'm, in Panama, I'm planning on doing these things called the jungle sessions, because my boyfriend is getting really into videography, and so, I'm gonna grab my guitar, him get a camera, and we go hike out to a crazy spot in the jungle and try to do some, like, high-quality videos, like a little YouTube series of both originals and covers. And
hopefully we'll get to do some too.
When you come to Costa Rica.
And what's also cool is you'll be around, you know,
there where you could like sit, have other musicians sit in with you?
Yeah, there's so many musicians out there, and I'm bringing my banjo because I like, this is my goal. I was like, because when you're in the jungle, you don't have a cell phone, you don't have a computer, all you have is time, really. I mean, you get your work done during the day, but then you're like, it's a lot of just like chilling, like that's really, it's great. But music, I mean, there's a bunch of musicians that go out there and we just bonfire every night and play music. So my goal when I'm out there is to like still continue just trying to practice as much as I can, because when I do get home, I would love to do music. I'm slowly realizing this ever since we started gigging like a month ago. I'm like, this is like too much fun. I don't even know.
We both come back and just talk about
it. Yeah, it's just like the best feeling in the world to play music, and I've met so many interesting people as a result, and I don't know, I just love playing. And so when I'm gone, I really just want to practice and get my guitar chops up, my banjo chops up, and then try to hit it hard when I get back.
Very cool. The YouTube series thing, kind of, you ever catch Jam in the Van? You ever heard of that? It'd be neat to find your like kind of a niche like that, like where you're, you know, the jungle series kind of thing. But like for Jam in the Van, it's just a really neat channel. Yeah, you know, where they go to a lot of festivals, and they'll show up and they'll invite people. So like they got like from everybody. But like sometimes it's solo artists, and then sometimes it's like seven people in the band, and they're all.
Yeah.
Jammed in the back of this van, and they were playing, and some of them were, you know, was tucked
that's
up in the
so
corners
funny.
And stuff.
Yeah,
but
that Alan Stone, that Sex and Candy cover was a jam in the van.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
There's some really, really cool performances, and like really great quality for being recorded in a van.
Yeah.
I mean, they got great equipment, whatever. You know, they really know what they're doing.
Yeah.
But it's just really neat to see them all in a van, and but anyway, just like kind of have it's fun to see like. Different kind of things like that, you know, like the fact that we can do stuff like that with YouTube now, and
it's so cool,
you know.
Yeah, just to have that visual, and I mean, for me, like, what I'm thinking is, like, I can kind of, in a way, like, share the experience of, like, being there, because it's so beautiful there, like, it's unbelievable, and just, and we're gonna add some things into the videos of just experience, like, just videos also of the experience out there in general. I mean, just the different crazy bugs we find, and, like, whatever, but yeah, I like having that visual sometimes, you know, just, it's interesting, you can see people's emotion while they play. And,
it's crazy how, like, and how fast, like, that stuff can spread, too. Like, I mean, you never know where YouTube could take you, you know, you look at all these people that have, like, blown up because of it, you know, and how fast, like, those videos can go viral and everything else, and it's a powerful tool.
The internet world,
yeah, it's pretty wild. I do a lot of, I just recorded a video Pokey Lafarge Sunday, and I put it up there. I try to do record like one song from every concert I go to. Not all of them, but I try to do a lot of them, and I try to. I want someday to have like my YouTube channel as like a sort of like a time capsule of all these like shows I went, you know. So
that'd
it's a very
really
cool idea. Cause I try to save my ticket stubs and can't manage to even do that.
Well, I've got the stubs too. I get a lot of posters. Like I've got, like I said, my fan. I've got a lot of crazy things, and I just have this stuff. Like I have a whole room of music and all my records and CD collection and posters and. All the stuff that's all just in there, I put it on YouTube for everybody to watch, but more for me, because like I said, I want to someday, like, man, that was a really cool moment to be a part of that. Yeah, I try not to be that guy that's like recording the whole show through their phone, and you know, like I try to record one song and maybe a couple pictures, and then I put it away and enjoy the moment, because you know that's why we're there,
is for
what's happening live, not go home and watch it on my telephone.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
So you want to play one more? Or
yeah, should
we
one more?
What was the pirate?
Should we do the pirate
one?
Yeah,
let's get some pirate action.
Get real weird. So this one is called You Done Wrong, and it's pretty self-explanatory, but it's about like when a person, and this, sometimes I feel like I sound like a total, like, asshole when I'm playing this song. But it's like when someone constantly comes to you and they keep messing up and making the same mistakes over and over and over again, and are like, what should I do? And at the first time, you're like, okay, I'm going to help you out, you know. But when they keep doing it over and over and over and over and over again, it's like you're still there for them, but it's also like you just mess up.
Yeah.
And you should know, like, you know better by now to, like, not make the same mistakes. So, like, I'm not going to be this, like, blanket of comfort for you to tell you that everything's going to be fine, like, when you keep messing up.
Right.
So I just kind of got fed up with it. I was in a sassy pirate mode, and I wrote a song called You've Been Wrong. So I'm really, and I actually, okay, like, I love listening to our friends. I love listening to people and trying to understand, but there's a couple of expressions like, I cannot help you. Sorry.
Well, yeah, sometimes you can only take so much.
So, I mean, we're going to have the trombone on this one, too. All
right.
So, 1, 2, ready, go.
Come on now.
Well, I guess we're looking to wrap this up. So we can keep an eye out for some recordings, hopefully soon.
Yeah, definitely.
You said bootleg Saturday night?
Yep, or Friday night. Bootleg, and then Sunday, the 3rd at the Lucky Buddha. And then, let's see, the 8th, we're going to be at Montrey's Cigar and Whiskey Lounge in Ferguson from 9 to 12. And then Saturday, May 9th at Nick's Pub from 10 to 2 a.m. And it's going to be a party.
Yeah, it's going to be super. And then you said you got a Facebook music page?
Yep, I have a Facebook music page. It's called Hillary Fitz Music. Drew and I are still trying to think of a band name. It'll come to us one day. Yep. Just Hillary Fitz Music, FITZ, like the root beer, 2 L's on Hillary.
Are you part of the root beer empire? Or?
No, I tried to score a free root beer once and like saying I was, but they didn't buy it, and I had to pay for root beer. But
maybe if you had an R to your name, you can go get some of that custard.
I showed them my ID, and I was like, my great-grandfather was the founder of this establishment. And they were just like, that is not true.
I'm gonna,
I can see right through you.
I'm going to have all of you fired.
Exactly. Yeah, that failed a touch.
I get all the time that if I'm related to Elvis, and I get it. I guess it's kind of crazy. I mean, I got a teacher I work with. I work for a school district, and one of the teachers got all the kids believing that I'm related to Elvis, that like he's my grandpa, which the timeline doesn't quite add up, but it's still awesome. It's funny that they're all like, hey, are you really related to Elvis? I'm like, yeah.
You can do Elvis impressions. I mean, you can like.
Yeah.
There's a motorcycle club in New Orleans where they all dress up like Elvis and ride mopeds.
Oh, yeah?
It's mopeds. It's not motorcycles. I think it's mopeds. And they all dress, and there's like a bunch of them, and they all dress up like Elvis and ride mopeds.
That's
that is like my ultimate dream.
Yeah, but do they have a DeLorean club?
That is the question.
Yeah.
Yep, dress up like Elvis driving the DeLorean. There you go. But,
in the middle, yeah.
Yeah. Well, cool. Thanks for hanging out. I mean, this has been a lot of fun. You know, I loved all the songs. They were great. I'm looking forward to hearing some proper recordings.
Yeah.
So hopefully I didn't mess anything. If anything sounds off, it's my fault. So it's not sounded awesome in this room.
No problem. Thank you for like having us doing this. This has been really fun, and it's just like
laid back.
It's always fun to talk about music and hang out with new people.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's nice to meet you too in a more friendly setting like this.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Great to perform with you. Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, this is all the show's about. It's just, you know, hanging out, good friends, good times, and trying to spotlight some cool local music. So, yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
So, if you like what you hear, go back. We got like 63 episodes on the website, iTunes, and you can find us anywhere. If you go to our Facebook page, there's like a new tab we just added where you can listen to all of our episodes. If you're on the computer only, it doesn't work through mobile. But you can go through and you can stream them right through Facebook even. So we're trying to keep it simple. Rock Paper Podcast.
Yeah. Perhaps you'd like to listen to episode 60.
Yeah, that's a good place to start.
Called Sophisticated Babies.
Yeah.
I heard they're really awesome.
That was really a lot of fun, man.
I heard those guys might also have a Facebook page.
Yeah.
Dates coming up. Steve's Hot Dogs, June 28th, for instance.
Yeah.
With Cooter and Haas.
He just heard these
things. Hillary's gonna come back in from Panama so she can see.
Panama! What, is that the only one you got?
Yeah.
To plug?
We never know when we're playing at the Broadway Oyster Bar until like
sure,
a
right.
week or so before. So I'm that I'm optimistic.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's like I said. At least, when we recorded, we didn't have a date to plug at the time. So there we go. Now we got the plug. But yeah.
Maybe in August or something when I get back for those 2 weeks, we could do another
show.
We should
do
together.
Another.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
That'd be really fun.
Yeah. I'm bummed I missed that one. It would have been a lot of fun to see you guys all together. I'm sorry I let you all down.
That last song was for you.
Yeah.
You keep making the same mistakes, but not show up to Hillary and Sophisticated Baby Show.
Yeah. That was an Al Holiday, right? Too was there?
No, that was the Al Holiday thing was a completely different thing.
It was like
two Saturdays before that. We did a Al Holiday and
I thought it was
the Collegiate Shag Brass Band from Columbia, Missouri.
Collegiate
Shag Brass Band.
That's
it was like a 10-piece band. They had like six or seven horns. That was tight stuff too. That'd be great.
And I saw Al just went. I guess he went back to Columbia and they played together up there. So
yeah, I saw that too.
So, that would have been fun. I haven't been able to see Al and his band play live yet.
He's a lot of fun.
I gotta get down there and catch him at the Oyster Bar.
Joined us on a couple of things too. It was a lot of fun. So
cool. Well, get out, catch a live show this weekend. In June 28th.
June 28th at Steve's Hot Dogs.
Yeah.
Nice.
Cool. Well,
some hot dogs.
Thank you all for hanging out with me. This has been fun.
Yeah.
So
really fun.
Yeah.
Till next time. That's a wrap.